Ah, come in, Agents Mike and Jackie. How was your holiday? Well rested?
Oh, yes, sir.
It was awesome! Crystal clear ocean, hopping nightclubs, and the music. Oh, man, the music was great! Underneath the mango tree, me honey and me.
Yes, very good. I'm happy you enjoyed your time in Jamaica, but I have another assignment for you now.
Does it include cocktails?
Or mango trees?
No, but it is chock full of underground sewers, rats, long, long train rides, and... let me see... Oh yes, chess! Lots of chess.
Brilliant, sir.
No mango trees?
You leave right away. But don't fret, we have a much bigger budget this time around. More gadgets, more globe-trotting, even a brand new theme song. It should shape things up quite a bit, wouldn't you say?
Yes, sir.
Jolly good. Now, here are your mission dossiers. Please read them carefully. Codename, From Russia with Love.
Only the second James Bond thriller could be more exciting than the first. James Bond, that notorious amazing Dr. No's secret agent, is back, and half the world is out to kill him as he pits his murderous talents against the Iron Curtain and its velvet women.
Well, I'll tell you something, Kulturni. You're one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen.
I think my mouth is too big.
No, it's the right size. For me, that is.
From Russia with Love comes Tatiana, bait for the trap. From the four corners of the world come the men and women who play a deadly, dangerous game of espionage.
Do not be alarmed, my friend. We will make you as comfortable as possible.
Ali Karim Bey, head of Station T, Turkey. Krasno Granitsky, codename Grant, chief executioner of Spectre.
My orders are to kill you and deliver the lector. All I do, it's my business.
M of British Secret Service, the woman called Rosa Klebb, playing a double cross.
Klebb. Romanova, the door. Romanova!
From Russia with Love. They dance for him. They yearn for him. They die for him. From Zagreb to Sofia, from Venice to Istanbul, from Paris to London, Agent 007 cuts an inimitable path through the palaces and boudoirs of espionage.
Guys, agents, we're back from vacation. We had a long vacation, and we went to Jamaica, and we just didn't leave for a few months.
I'm glad we got to spend time in that nightclub, that sweaty nightclub.
Oh, we danced out our troubles, and then we went to the beach. It was great. And there were those blind men.
Had some nice time hanging underneath the mango tree.
I'll admit, though... Jump Up got a little old after like the 100th time hearing it. You know what I mean?
Maybe for you.
However, Underneath the Mango Tree, still number one and still
top of the charts.
Still a banger. Underneath the Mango Tree.
I'll always go hard to Underneath the Mango Tree.
Well, it's back to work, which means we got to go to Russia. Well, actually, we don't go to Russia in this movie.
No, we go to Venice and Istanbul, and we go on a train.
A lot of offices.
We go to some offices.
But they're pretty fancy offices, right?
They are fancier than the offices in Dr. Yeah. No.
And we do also go to what I think they do formally call Spectre Island.
Oh, that's right.
So we get our first little glimpse of
that. That could be in Russian territory. We don't really know for sure.
I think
sure.
It's supposed to be. Well, aren't they on a boat? Or... No, there's the boat and the island are separate. Never mind. Duh.
Well, we also get we on this mission, we also get a bigger budget, clearly.
Oh, yeah.
A whopping $2 million.
So, like, double what we had last time. So that means that Ken Adam doesn't have to, like, recreate famous paintings for a one shot or something. You know what I mean? They could maybe just get, I don't know. But, yeah, it's very apparent they had a bigger budget this time. Oh, by the way, I'm Dave. Welcome back to the podcast. We had a long hiatus. But we're back. I'm joined again by Agent Jackie.
Hey.
And Agent Michael.
Reporting for duty.
And if you're coming in late, if you turned on your podcast, walked away and came back, we're talking about From Russia with Love, 1963's From Russia with Love, the second James Bond film adventure, starring Sean Connery, directed by Terrence Young, and our first with Desmond Llewellyn as Q.
Yeah,
our,
we get
his first appearance as Q.
We this get is the first time we get gadgets, right?
Yeah, last time they're like, "Here's a gun, James Bond. Go, go to Jamaica."
Last time it was like, "James Bond, the gun you're using is busted. You need to use a new gun.
Quit using that busted gun. Here's a regular
Remember
one."
Remember how you went to the hospital for 6 months because your gun was so busted?
And this time they're like, "It seems to be an ordinary briefcase."
And we but should actually, point out, when he got his gun last time, it's not like a Q show. Is there a laser in here? Or like
no, it's just a gun. Shoots bullets.
No, it's a new
it's
gun.
It's just a gun.
All the rage at the CIA.
Yeah, they love this gun, actually.
Is there
anyway.
At least a compass in this gun?
Nope, go for it. Go shoot some dudes, punch them. I don't care. I don't really care.
There are a level with the you know those little bubble things at the handle?
Nope, none of that.
Hang a painting.
Look, you can hit someone with the gun if you want, I guess. But mostly it shoots bullets, okay? The plane is waiting.
Yes, it also acts as a blunt object, 007.
Ooh, that comes up in this one.
Oh, that's the latest from Q Branch, a blunt object.
That is arguably...
You just give him like a sack of quarters.
That is arguably Bond's feeling towards... Q in Skyfall. Where he's like, "You and your fucking gadgets, give me a gun and a radio."
Well, no, it's the reverse. When they give it to him, like, he gives him a gun and a radio. He's just like, I think if I remember right, he says, "Oh, well, not exactly Christmas, is it?" Oh, yeah. I was expecting at least a level so I could level some pictures.
He does have a like, no flashing lights. And Q's like, "No.
Mr. Bond,
off.
I can't help but notice your paintings are unlovely."
In this non-visual medium, Michael did lift his pinky to his mouth when he said that.
Well, that's the thing. James Bond is old school. He'll just kind of raise his pinky up a little bit and try to level it himself.
Yeah, like a man does.
Yeah, he shaves with a straight razor and he levels with his pinky.
Oh, he's a real manly
and
man in this
one. He loves
to
hit women. Anyway, let's get into
love.
It.
Well, we'll get more into Q in a little bit, but so agents, as I understand it, this is like your first time watching From Russia with Love, right?
Yep.
Sort of. It's for me anyway. I did see this once back in the pre-waste days on Netflix, like just kind of randomly. I put it on years ago, and I don't know why. I think I was just like, I want to watch a Sean Connery Bond. And I did finish it, I think, but I fell asleep for like a lot of it, which is unusual for me. I don't really do that much in movies. And I remember thinking like, like this isn't, I know we joked a little bit about like watching Dr. No, where Jackie saw it with some friend who was like, you might think this is like boring. And
that's just what movies were like back then.
I did kind of think, not to show my hand a little bit, I do think this one can be a little dull. It doesn't have quite, not that I hated it, and again, I'm not showing all my cards yet, but it doesn't have quite the like zest for life that Dr. No had, I think.
Oh, man. I'm a little against you on this one, I think what this movie has is it really excels in that espionage vibe.
Yes.
You know, like countries against countries and do a secret dealings and, oh, we're going to go take my little boat underground and so we can look at the periscope that comes up underneath like a table in an office.
That stuff, yes. I did like, I'm also going to show my hand. I didn't like this one. But for just the points that you just made, Dave, I like the, you know, the espionage of it. I like bits and pieces, but overall I did not care for it.
If I'm ready to say I didn't like it, but it's different than the first one.
Did you fall asleep during this viewing too?
Not fully.
You were a little sleepy. I knew it. You were already in a sleepy mood.
Not the way I did the first time. No, I mean I saw it.
Was your chin on your chest?
Well, it wasn't not. There was also one of those, you know, good old four-eyed irradiated cats that hang around the shop did snuggle up with Michael for a good chunk of the viewing. He was distracted
It was a lot working against me on that one.
You know, that's just going to put you to bed every time. So I guess I can't fight.
I'm curious, Dave, though, as the expert and, you know, again, not that I'm asking for a full ranking here, but where does this fit in for you of the Bond franchise? Is this so? My like kind of first impression of it was like, this is introducing a lot of stuff that like makes Bond Bond, right? Like the gadgets. It is getting more into like the espionage and more of the like globe trotting as opposed to just going to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
And so there's that part of it. I do though think like, it didn't have like some of the like comic booky feel that I like from Bond. Like it felt a little bit more in the vein of like a Tom Clancy or like a Bourne movie than what I think of as Bond, which is, to me, that's what I'm saying is, you know, quote unquote boring, is it's just that kind of style, which is maybe just not my jam. But I'm curious, like, where this fits in for you and the Bond oeuvre.
Well, hold on. Let me take the briefcase and turn the catches like this.
Oh, yeah.
Open up
not the other way.
Marked Dave's thoughts on. All right, open it up here.
This is one of my favorite. There's so many knives in this one. Oh, sorry. We immediately just like talking. What are you saying? Like, I love this movie.
This is one of my favorite James Bond movies. It's in my top 10. And I don't know why. It's just like I could see why someone would think it was dull. Like there's not a lot of action per se, and some of the action that we do get in the movie, like for instance, the raid on the gypsy camp, where these guys are coming in, and it's like the most choreographed action scene I've ever seen. Like the most obviously choreographed, you know. that does hurt it a little bit, but I don't know. I guess I just really like the espionage stuff. I like the scenes of, like, especially the scene where James Bond walks into the monastery. He's picking up the plans for the Russian embassy or whatever that Tatiana has left, like in a little thing, and he's going in there. He's picking up. He's got his shades. I love all the scenes where Sean Connery's just like. Putting on his shades dramatically or taking them off dramatically, just sort of walking around.
Goes without saying, he's very, very handsome in this one, too. He continues to be a smoke show.
I should say, the gypsy is a slur for Romanian people.
I said that, I was thinking of the... of the soundtrack, because that's what the track is on the soundtrack. because when I think of that scene, I think of the song that plays. It's called 007, and we haven't seen it yet, because we've only seen the first two movies, or you haven't, rather, but that theme play, the dun 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 dun. That theme will replay like several times throughout the series.
But that sounded like
there was no Under the Mango Tree, but I did really like the music in this one. It feels like it expanded a lot more into like a lot of the themes. Definitely. and everything that would really stick with the series.
So don't worry too hard, Dave. I mean, Jackie seems like a lost cause on this movie, but I'm not ready to say I don't like it just yet.
Honestly, as a favorite podcast of mine has said, the We Hate Movies podcast, to give them a shout out briefly, they have a really good mantra, I think. It's okay to like a movie, and it's okay to not like a movie.
I agree with that, definitely.
So I don't fault you for like being a little lukewarm on this one, even though it's one of my favorites. I different strokes, man.
I did do some research in the chat archives, and apparently, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with this, Dave, but if any listeners out there are not, this is like one of the highest ranked, or general critical consensus is this is one of the best Bond movies. Some people say it's the best Bond movie, although there are some more recent reviews that say, like, there was one guy who's like some academic guy who's like wrote a bunch about Bond stuff, and he was like, this might be blasphemous to say, but I think we have to admit that some of Russia with Love is terrifyingly dull. So there are some people who have, I don't know, but I think this one might be so popular. A big part of it might be because, as much as we talked about Dr. No being the template, like, wow, they really came out of the gate with like what Bond is. This really made, I think, filled in the rest of those gaps. Yeah. Like, I feel like we're ready for the next one now to be like, this is like, we got the gadgets, we got the globetrotting, we got the espionage.
We've got the faceless villain stroking a cat.
Yeah, the faceless, the evil. Mm-hmm. We have
loved
my favorite depiction of Blofeld, by the way, where we don't ever see his face.
Oh, I love that. I'm such a sucker for that.
Oh, it was very good. And shout out to that cat actor. Very good work.
Yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the cat. Oh, what if like the cat is
is Blofeld.
It's a super like radiated cat that has like the mind of like a human, and the cat is actually just controlling Blofeld. That's my headcanon so far.
Yeah.
It's basically like a Krang giant robot baby
exactly,
thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like a Men in Black situation kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's, those Spectre, they always are doing stuff like that.
I love
You will never find the galaxy.
I love every scene with him, and the Spectre agents, like, was all really good.
Yeah, there's definitely like a lot of Bond that's still being like codified in this movie, and for better or worse, including like my biggest issues with the movie are all around Tanya the Bond girl and every kind of thing with that.
Well, she's given like the so I guess we should maybe get into the plot here.
Oh yeah, we can do that.
And it kind of does. It revolves around the character of Tatiana Romanova, and the idea of getting this Spectre, or no, not the Spectre,
no, the Lector,
the Lector for Spectre,
Lector.
So this is
the alternate title for this movie.
Lector for
Spectre. We talked about Dr. No, how we had no idea what Dr. No was trying to do, and in this one, I think it's very obtuse but clearer, like what is going on. Like basically, Spectre wants to get. God, this is so stupid saying out loud. Spectre wants to get the Lector, and the Lector is like basically like a machine that will translate stuff that's in code, like encoded messages.
A decoder machine.
So it's in the context of the Cold War. Yeah. So like Russia wants to decode US, US wants to decode Russia. Spectre can decode everything and like get the upper hand. So that's like kind of makes sense, but the plan to get it is very convoluted. And if I understand correctly, what's going on is Lector the machine.
Spectre.
Lector
Russia,
is in Istanbul.
Istanbul.
The machine Lector is in Istanbul, Turkey.
Yes.
And Spectre is going to get it by hiring a Russian agent, Tatiana.
A clerk.
And hiring them by using Spectre's own Russian defector and pretending to Tatiana
you're doing this all off the dome. Well, for what reason? You could be reading how this goes.
I gotta do it off the dome.
Because you are... Okay, go ahead.
Well, this is the famous moment where I call... where M calls Bond into his office, and it's like, what do you know about blank? And James Bond has to do it off the top of his head. So that's what Mike is doing right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to submit an honest report here.
007, okay. Tell me the plot of From Russia with Love.
Do you know the plot of From Russia with Love? And 007's like...
No checking your notes, 007.
It's
3 a.m. when I just got back from the casino.
I was just flirting with Moneypenny.
18 cocktails
deep.
Got
a half chub.
It's 3 a.m.
Okay, so Spectre uses one of their agents, whose name is like Deb or something, or like...
Kleb.
Rosa Kleb.
Rosa Deb.
Rosa Kleb used to be a Russian... high-up Russian
intelligence,
but has defected to Spectre. So they take Rosa Kleb and send her to have a meeting with Tatiana, where Rosa Kleb pretends to still be part of the Russian army, which is very funny. And like, okay, so
I put on
Tatiana,
the outfit.
The Russian army needs to use you to get information from the Britons about Lector, and to do that, you need to have sex with James Bond.
Yeah, that's... This is your mission from your government.
But this whole point, I'm like, I'm kind of like, who? Why don't they just get the Lector?
Like, to be fair, this is actually a genius move, because it's like, we all know that James Bond is a famous horn dog. So we know he'll do anything for a pretty girl or whatever.
I guess I don't understand, like, why do they need to do this to get the Lector?
Well, I think part of it goes into when the guy who formulates this whole plan, Kronstein, the chess master, they're kind of pulling a lot of strings, because he's like, we want to get the Lector, we want to feed the British misinformation, we also want to get back at James Bond for killing Dr. No.
It's also a revenge thing, because
it's a revenge thing, because
they want to kill Bond. But yeah,
we know that his weakness is women, because he's a womanizer.
Yeah, and they, because they're, you know, the shadowy organization, they don't want to be seen pulling the string, so they can't just go in there and be like, we're stealing the Lector, bye! They want to start shit between, like, Russia and England, to just be like, oh, while you're doing that, we've got this thing.
I gotta say, Austin Powers kind of takes us to the next level, because they're so Austin Powers is James Bond, so it's like, what's his weakness? Women. Let's steal
a fembot
that will kill him.
That does sound like something that would happen in, like, what I imagine the Roger Moore episodes. I like the, you mentioned the chess. I mean, the first scene we get of the person who hatched this, that's a cool scene where basically the movie starts, maybe this is part of why I was thinking it's boring initially, because like the movie starts with like, really get like five longish scenes that are just entirely disconnected, and you don't really have an idea of like what's going on. And one of them is... a chess scene. Like, it just like opens up on like Queen's Gambit.
Exactly. What am I watching, the Queen's Gambit over here?
It's people playing chess, but then eventually one of the guys playing chess gets like he's brought water, and the coaster of the water
says
message. Like, you're required at once. And he like rips it up, and then like
wins
the chess game and leaves, and then reports to Spectre.
So you know he's smart.
Yeah, you know he's smart because he wins at chess.
How awesome was that set, though?
That was, yeah.
Oh, it was great. I liked
so
that scene.
Yeah.
It was cool just like seeing him like get the message in the middle of the game and then win. It was kind of silly, but
we were joking. There's like, they're playing the chess and someone makes a move, and then it's like the guy, you know, announcer is like, rook to king four, and the whole crowd is like, rook to, oh my god, he's doing this. There's like a full room of people being like, oh my god.
It cuts to some people like with like, you know, they're all shirtless and it says Kronstein written off across their chests.
Someone's holding a sign, Kronstein 316.
There's a huge chess fandom, obviously. But yeah, we get chess guy, we get Russian lady, we get some good classic James, not, I'm saying this sarcastically, but some classic James Bond, more queer-coded villains, because Blofeld, his whole, like, I'm wearing my jewelry and stroking the cat, and is kind of in that vein, but especially...
I think Kleb is queer-coded?
I was about to say, absolutely, is. Because when we are introduced to Tatiana, who they call Tanya throughout the film, so I'm going to be calling her Tanya.
Oh, oh.
She's, you know, she comes in, she's like, so you want to serve your country or what? Take off your jacket, turn around. And then she, like, gets close and she's, like, stroking her hair or whatever. And it's very, like, oh, you got to do what this predatory lesbian says. But don't worry, because she does love James Bond like a good heterosexual woman.
This is a lot less coded in the book and just outright, you know.
Just outright evil lesbian.
And I don't remember if we said this in the previous episode or not, but Ian Fleming had some sort of beef with the LGBTQ community.
Oh, he had a beef with them?
I'm doing my research in the 20th century? As a good agent, I'm doing my research and reading some of the books right now. Right now, I'm just reading through some of the short story collection that I have. But he has problems with a lot of people, I'll say.
You're telling me that this...
Wait until you get to Goldfinger.
This guy maybe has problems with... homophobia and racism and sexism and...
Well, it's also worthy to note that Ian Fleming modeled a lot of James Bond after himself.
Oh. Cool.
That's very apparent that, like, he is like, he'll have, like, little diversions in the books, which I am liking the books so far, but he'll have, like, little things where he's like... And of course, Bond preferred Perrier, and I'm like, okay, Ian,
sure,
Bond preferred Perrier. Like, yeah, like, there's a lot of asides where it's like, this is my ultimate cool guy.
Yeah, what if you were the coolest guy in the world, and every woman wanted to fuck you, and every man wanted to be you?
It reminds me of, like, the term, like, Mary Sue. Like, that is 100% what Bond is.
But only Mary Sues are only girls. Men can't make Mary Sues.
James Bond is a Mary Sue. but yeah, so Tatiana's going...
Throw that on the poster for Russian Love.
That's my
two stars. So what is he, some kind of Mary Sue?
What's this fucking Mary Sue bullshit?
So unrealistic that he's, like, so good at everything.
But yeah, so that's, since we're still talking about, Tanya, that, like, she's in there and she's clearly, like, uncomfortable with everything. And then she, like, sees a picture of Bond or whatever. And she's like, oh, okay.
She sees his Tinder bio and is like, oh, I'll swipe right.
Okay. So it's like, wow, you're in this.
How do I swipe right on this?
You're being forced into this weird mission from your country that involves you pretending to defect. And also you definitely have to fuck this guy. Well, I'm scared and this is a lot of pressure. Oh, but he's hot. Okay.
And so what's James Bond doing? Like, so this is happening, but then also...
Bond is off by the side of a river fucking a gal.
Oh, that's right. That's when he's like, he's just like, there's like
Sylvia
some...
Tretch.
Sport going on with,
it's rowing. I don't know.
Rowing, but then, and it's, I like that like shot where it's like, you see the people rowing and then it pans to like Bond just like... has taken his rowboat like off to the side of
just
a riverbank and is like making out with. Is this Sylvia Trench from the first Doctor No?
It is. This is the one and only Bond girl who makes a second appearance.
And we also get a little bit of like timeline here, which we very seldomly get. He says it's been 6 months or whatever she says.
Yeah, and that was neat because it's probably like. Not that far off from how long the movies came out, because they came out pretty quickly, right?
Yeah.
Well, these first four movies in the timeline came out a year apiece.
God,
which is
that
insane.
That must have been exhausting.
Oh, God. Well, I can understand why Sean Connery was like, I'm done with this.
I don't want to do any more of these.
Yeah. Well, especially because at the time, I mean, we'll probably get into this more in the Goldfinger episode, but like, by the time we hit Goldfinger, he is basically like as big as the Beatles, James
Damn,
Bond.
Yeah.
And so imagine the fandom with the Beatles, you know, all on one guy when he tries to attend a premiere. They're like,
he's you know? Like, I'm not like those guys. I will take out a gun and start shooting.
I will shoot you for your picture, damn it. For your autograph. Give me your autograph. Anyway.
So yeah, he gets a call on his like fancy pager thing.
On his car phone.
Well, no. He gets it first. He gets a call on like his little his beeper that he has like on his person.
And Sylvia's like, "No, just fuck me, no!" And he like slaps her hand really hard, which I didn't enjoy.
He is not on his way.
Sylvia, behave. We'll do this again some other time soon.
Do what? Last time you said that, you went off to Jamaica. I haven't seen you for 6 months.
I'll be down there now.
I'll tell him. Hey, your old case sounds interesting, James.
Make that an hour and a half.
Which, and then, like, he proceeds to, like, lift the top of the car, and I'm like, wait a minute. Are they going to do it in the car?
I guess. It's
That's
like
uncomfortable. They had, like, a perfectly nice implied. Little picnic
well,
area
picnic
by the water.
Setup. He's like, you got to give me roadhead for an hour and a half.
What do you think James Bond's work schedule is like? Like, do you think he's just...
Does he ever go to the office and, like, do paperwork?
Or is he just
think?
Like, you'll occasionally get a call that you need to come in and just be on... ready to come in.
I just imagine that he goes into his office like for the times when M doesn't directly call him into his office for a big emergency. He just goes into his office, opens up like a binder, and just flips through missions like lame.
Yeah, he's
ooh,
given
this one's kind of sexy.
He's given like a dossier of options to do shit, and he's like, that's boring, I don't really want to go to France right now. I'll do this one.
Oh, Jamaica.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'll put a gold star next to that one.
Yeah, I'll dog ear this one. Okay, go
it's
home.
Like he's a kid
I'm gonna go to the casino.
The catalog.
Yeah.
Like what toys you want?
I'll put that in the maybe pile.
That one. Yeah.
All right, it's 12 o'clock. Yeah. Time for my first martini of the day.
I'm gonna go smoke and drink, and I'll be at that for many hours.
As they say, it's beer 30 somewhere.
Oh, that guy.
Anyway,
anyway, then
M
I think,
calls him into his office.
Yeah, and we get. I liked his.
So you have more fan mail, 007. Another woman wants to have sex with you.
Another woman just is dying to fuck you. Before we get to that, I liked when Bond enters the office and he's like throwing his hat onto the hook and he's about to like say something flirty to Moneypenny, and then M is just right there and he's like, oh, okay, yeah.
Put it away, sorry. 007.
Can't you keep it in your pants for 5 minutes? And Moneypenny's like, he doesn't have to. I for all my problems with the gender relationships in James Bond, I do still like the Bond and Moneypenny dynamic. Yeah. I love when those two get together and flirt.
It's funny that, like, Moneypenny seems to be, like, into him being with all the women, too.
She's like, hey, he's a Rolling Stone. Why would I want to change that?
Moneypenny's non-monogamous on her profile.
She's having fun. We're all having fun. You're not going to find Moneypenny, you know, no shade to Sylvia Trench, but you're not going to find Moneypenny hanging off his arm, begging him.
I like to imagine Moneypenny in all of her relationships is like, will they or won't they? Like, she's actually never had sex.
Wow. I'm ready to read that fan fiction. She loves to flirt, but will she ever give it up?
Yeah, that's what's fun for her, is just the
tension. She just
likes
the chase, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Anyway, we go into the Bond's like, oh, I don't get to have my flirting time after I just had sex with that other lady. Anyway, tell me about this mission. Oh, another woman wants to fuck me?
Oh, God.
I will definitely put that in the yes pile.
Oh, sure, yeah. I can't decide if it's better or worse that, like, he and Tanya both just see pictures of each other and they're like, boy, yo, yo, yo.
Well, to be fair, Tanya, when she's given the picture, she's like, yeah, I guess. Like, she's not as into it as Bond is. Bond literally stops mid-sentence like,
What?
Yeah,
she's
hot? I thought it was an interesting choice for the director to put in the boing.
For the awooga.
Yeah, and the awooga.
And James Bond literally morphs into a wolf and goes.
He does a big old whistle. His jaw drops to the ground. Steam he starts coming out of thumping his ears. His foot, barking. And yeah, he's like, Jesus Christ. Okay, yeah, she's a beautiful lady, but can you, excuse
you
me?
See Q comes in with like a sedative, it like calms down.
He said, so this looks like an ordinary Alka-Seltzer. It's actually a dehornification pill. We made 25 for you, Bond, so don't burn through them.
The opposite of Viagra.
This will keep it down.
See, that's the thing that that Bond doesn't realize. There's always a shadow agent that tails him on every mission that, if need be,
has to
shoots
inject him
with the dehornifier dart.
When they see him, like, eyeing too many just random women in Istanbul, they're like, come on, come on. It's the equivalent of, like, shaking a can of pennies at a dog. Cut it out. He's like, huh.
Remember the Lecter. The Lecter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. What was I doing? Looks at his watch. He's like, okay, yeah. But, yeah, the...
And this is when the briefcase comes in.
Yeah, we get our Q scene, which
is very
fun.
Has he been told yet, like, what is going on other than, like, you have have sex with this woman?
There's the formal mission, which he's like, this seems like a trap. And M's like, it's definitely a trap. You still need to do it.
What is the mission?
The mission is supposedly this Russian clerk, agent, whoever, Tanya, is defecting and wants to, wants the British intelligence to, like, help her defect, and in exchange, she'll help them get the Lecter.
Right, okay.
But she specifically has said, I will only go with James Bond, because she, like, saw his picture in a file and is in love with him.
Yeah.
And they're both like, yeah, this seems like a trap, but yeah, go ahead and do it. Get the Lecter. I guess fuck her. Sure. I don't know. And he's like, yeah,
for
I'm going
707,
to fuck her.
I approve of your methods.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, I definitely will have sex with this woman and get the Lecter, and then who cares?
It's like, 007, come in here. I need you for a unique mission. Now, drop trow. Is everything working down there? Perfect.
How's everything been going? Any syphilis lately? No? All right. Then you are fit to go.
We need to send you down to Q branch for another shot.
Yeah, we'll get you your shots. We'll get you all cleaned up. Maybe do some manscaping while you're there. Your choice.
Oh, God. Can you imagine him going into Q branch and someone, like, applying them or, like, manscaping him?
They're like, look, we're not going to take it all off. We're just going to shape it a little bit, okay?
So Bond, if you recall, there was some radiation stuck under your fingernails in the last mission. I regret to inform you, there
you
was
have
more
cancer.
Radiation.
Oh my God!
You've been touching yourself lately, have you?
It's
the radiation appears to have spread.
You have several cancers. No, it's like what was it called?
I thought
called?
Those were hickeys.
It reminded me of what was it called? Not Tales from the Crypt, was it? Spooky
Creepshow?
Creepshow with the Stephen King one where
he
goes green everywhere, and then he's like, when he has to, like, use the bathroom, and he's like, oh, and it's like, yeah, he did touch his dick and get the green on his dick, and that's
just
James Bond.
Sean
with the
Connery
radiation.
In that role in Creepshow of him, Sean Connery saying, meteor shit. But anyway, Q walks in.
We get gadgets.
So the briefcase.
Not so fast, 007. We have some gadgets for you.
This was, I did appreciate it for being, just so one after another. It looks like an ordinary this. It looks like an ordinary this, but it's actually.
It's like QVC.
Yeah.
But wait.
And you won't
more.
Believe.
We must be crazy to sell it at this price.
But that's not all.
Yeah, so the briefcase. You can have all this for $29.95.
So the briefcase.
Call now.
See if I got this right. It has knives, like a detachable knives, like on the side. You can pull out a knife.
Well, it's like a switchblade knife. It sticks out like.
On the side here, flat throwing knife. Press that button there. Now she comes.
Yeah. It has. The big thing about it is if you open it without pointing the
you have to like turn the latch a
certain
way.
The latch is a certain way, which you know you wouldn't normally do. But if you just open it without doing that, it just emits tear gas.
Which is contained in a container of talcum powder, aka deodorant.
It looks like an ordinary talcum powder.
Which attaches to the underside like this. It's magnetic, so it won't fall.
There's and there's also some other things in the briefcase of.
Is there like a gun that pops out?
There was like hidden.
It's separate from the briefcase. I think Q just kind of threw it in there. It's not like it. It's
and
not
he has
like
an extra
the
gun
suitcase
for you.
Opens up into a gun. He added a gun to it. It looks like it's just like the stock, and then you attach the barrel and all that stuff.
Okay. So it's basically the knives and the tear gas.
The box isn't a transformer. It doesn't transform into a gun.
If you take this, it seems like ordinary talcum powder, but if you break it in half, there's a gun inside. But
what would it be like if Q was like, now, this is an ordinary container of talcum powder. If you take off the cap and throw it in someone's face, it will disable them. It's like Q and Bond's
yeah, that's
like,
all powder.
That's it?
Q? Okay. That's not a hey.
This is a blunt
not
object.
Much of a gadget, Q.
It's a blunt object. If you put it on someone's head with a blot of force, it disarms them.
If you fire the trigger in this gun, it will emit a casing of lead at high speed.
So this, I mean, that's kind of the knife. This is a very sharp, thin piece of metal, and when injected into flesh...
into someone's sternum.
It fucks them up.
Q, you're fired, Q.
We give you a lot of money for R&D.
Where's John Cleese?
Where's Ben Whishaw? He's not born. He won't be born for several decades.
He won't be born for a long time. So this one, it looks like an ordinary gun with a knife taped to it, but I'm going to need...
When
Q,
you detach the knife...
This isn't even good tape. This is scotch tape. We can clearly tell.
The main thing to remember about this briefcase is the talcum powder. That is the most vital part.
Yeah.
We also get...
The knife gets used, too.
The knife does get used. But there's also... Yeah, Bond's, like, weird little, like, pager thing, his car phone. He has, like, a phone tap, or he, like, uses some device.
Off the gadgets?
Well, he gets a lot of gadgets. Yeah. When he gets to, like, Istanbul, and he's, like, put in a hotel room, he immediately uses, like, a little gadget to find all the listening bugs put into the room.
Which I think at this point is a James Bond staple of his like searching of the room to see if mm-hmm. there are any bugs or anything.
I prefer the Dr. No one when he's like just low-tech. Making his own
so
little thing
low-rent,
with the hair
yeah.
and this and the
that
tape
was pretty
and
cool.
Stuff.
Yeah,
that's cooler than just like holding a thing and walking around the room to like beep 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 beep. Oh, there it is.
There's another one. So funny that he found all the bugs, but he couldn't find the two-way mirror in the other hotel room that
he wasn't
demands.
He wasn't thinking about it at that.
Well,
time.
Yeah. I think after this point he
so,
should.
So his first destination is Istanbul, where he's like, "All right, I got to meet up with Tanya and get the
Lecter." Well, first he meets up with like I guess his connections there.
Another
that guy,
favorite Bond right, trope of mine, right. where you meet up with your connection and you have yep. a secret like phrase that you say to each other.
Oh yeah, what was this one? Was something about like smoking or something?
Can I borrow a match?
I use a lighter.
It's better still.
Until they go wrong.
Exactly.
I'll get the car, sir.
And then they're BFFs from that point. We meet. What is his name?
Karim Bey.
Karim Bey and his many grown sons.
this is kind of a Bond staple of like the lovable like contact that he has somewhere else that eventually gets offed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get just enough of a camaraderie between them that it hurts when he gets offed.
And this also gets into the real espionage of the movie where it's like, and this is really of the time where it's like Russia versus, you know, the other side and just like, oh, yeah.
East versus West.
East versus West. And yeah, they follow us. We follow them. It's like an understanding we have. And
we're all
back
just
and forth,
going around.
Like, spying on each other and this and that. Like that's, I don't know. I find that stuff like very,
I saw
very cool.
that they're like in context, this was a year after the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result, a lot of the...
I haven't read the book, but apparently they like intentionally tried to tone down a lot of the Russia v. U.S. stuff.
Well, that's kind of why, because in the book, I think it's Smersh, which is basically like the Russian Spectre, more or less, in the book, whereas this, it's Spectre.
Spectre.
Yeah.
Kind of a way to de-escalate it a little bit.
For me, I would have liked it more if it was not so toned down, because part of this where I think like it comes off as a little dull is because what they're doing is so convoluted at times that I think it has less like stakes or maybe than it might otherwise. I don't know. Just spitballing here.
I think Smersh is a funnier name than Spectre.
Smersh.
You know, there's one critical element in the movie that we have not mentioned yet, and I'm baffled because it literally opens with this character.
I was going to say, we have passed over...
a very big piece of this movie.
Blonde-haired guy?
Yeah.
Not Max von Sydow?
Not
Robert
Max von
Shaw, a.k.a. Quint from Jaws.
Y'all know me. Know how I earn a living.
Oh my God.
He's the blonde-haired guy? That's Robert Shaw?
Yeah.
Wow. You really just put some bleach in a guy's hair, and I really...
The 70s must have not been kind to
this man. Well, he was also pretty buff in this movie. He's a much different figure than the drunken fisherman in Jaws.
You look very fit, Nash.
Yes. I try to keep in shape.
Very different. Wow. That's interesting.
Wow, I didn't clock that. But yeah, we do.
12 years separate these two movies.
12 years is a long
time.
A lot of cigarette smoke, whether you were smoking or not.
Yeah, it was the 60s. Like, yeah.
But yeah, we open with what seems to be an assassin stalking Bond through like some like hedge mate, like big. And it's
very Hitman.
It is, yeah. He gets garroted with another gadget, the fancy little watch with the, you know, piano wire hidden inside. But it's actually like a live training exercise with a guy wearing a Bond mask. Because on Spectre Island, that's where we train all of our big bad Spectre assassins. Like and this guy.
I love Robert Shaw in this movie. He barely says anything until like the final act when he meets with James Bond on the train.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just an imposing character. And have you gotten to From Russia with Love yet, reading the books, Mike?
No. So I've, to be clear, I do intend to read more, but for right now, I've purchased the book Quantum of Solace, which in the one I have is a collection of short stories. So I've only read the short stories, and so far I have read From a View to a Kill, For Your Eyes Only, Quantum of Solace, and I'm currently reading Risiko.
Ah, okay. Well, From Russia with Love, the book, the character of Grant in the book is flat out like a serial killer psychopath.
Hell yeah.
Like to the point where they even integrate, I think, like a full moon, like triggers him or something like that.
Also a werewolf.
He is full on like Zodiac killer, like Michael Myers in the book.
Damn. All right.
They
tone
him down for this, yeah, but they do state that he is like a psychopath, but...
Who can get, like, slugged in the stomach with brass knuckles and not flinch an inch.
Yeah. It's interesting that, I don't know, yeah, we should probably get to it. So, like, at a certain point after Istanbul, they end up at the camp, and that's when, like, a fight breaks out. And there's a moment there where he saves James Bond's life, which is very intriguing. And, like, that was a cool moment for sure, where you're like...
But this guy is supposed to kill James Bond. What's going on?
You had to deliver the lecture.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny for like how silent and imposing he is for most of the movie that when we get to the last act, like on the train and everything, and Grant comes in.
Not quite the last act.
Well,
there's
ways
to go.
There's still,
that.
You know, that's where a lot of the last action happens. Well, not even that. Anyway, we'll get to
like
the train.
His British cheerio, like,
yeah, where
accent.
He's pretending to be another guy, but he's like very talkative in that in those scenes, and even at the end, which we'll get to more, he's got the full-on like villain monologue about like,
oh yeah.
You thought this, actually it's this.
Oh, I don't mind talking.
I get a kick out of watching the great James Bond find out what a bloody fool he's been making of himself. We're pros, Mr. Bond. We sweated your recognition code out of one of your men in Tokyo before he died. I've been keeping tabs on you. I've been your guardian angel.
Well, see, here's the thing. This could be like the genesis of it, but in this movie, I think it works because he is truly like an egotistical psycho. Because he's all about like embarrassing Bond. He calls him old man a bunch, and his whole thing is like, I want you to come over here and kiss my foot.
That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah, it's psychosexual
after,
scene.
It's after the fight, and James Bond appears to have lost, and he's like. Literally, yeah, like
get on your knees, like lick my
stay
shoes.
On your knees, lick my shoe, Bond.
Yeah, which is interesting.
My orders are to kill you and deliver the lector. All I do, it's my business. It'll be slow and painful. The first one won't kill you. Not the second. Not even the third. Not till you crawl over here and you kiss my foot.
But we're still in Istanbul.
Oh God! Can you imagine? Like, I see there's a full moon out tonight. Hold on, let me derobe.
Let me.
It's like full on like Silence of the Lambs. Bond's like, yeah. What the hell?
Holy shit! I thought you were just like a regular assassin. There's something up with you. But yeah, after Bond's been like hanging around Istanbul with Kieran Bay, you know, there's a fight breaks out at the incredibly awful, you know, Romani portrayed campsite. We get that.
Why do they go there?
They're running well because there's a so when James Bond goes there, like the Russians in the city think, oh, there's this British agent coming in. Like, what's this all about? So they're spying on each other, and Spectre. They use Grant to like basically kill off like one of the Russian people, and they think that Karen Bay's people did it. So they bomb Karen Bay's office. So Karen Bay's like, we got to hide out at my friend's like belly dancer. Like,
yeah, so we do get that
belly dancer compound.
We get the belly dancing scene. We get the terrible cat fight about like these two women want the same man.
Now they're both your wives,
and now they're both in their underwear and fighting, and they're your wives, James Bond. Don't like any of that. It's all pretty
it's
fucking
like
gross.
James Bond's watching Karen Bay's like, Bond, where are your hands right now?
It's not great, but after that,
the British guy with the trank tart is like positioning himself, ready for the shot.
Bond's just like wipe dabbing sweat from his brow.
He literally does get a handkerchief and like wipe sweat from his brow.
To be fair, they all look very sweaty in that scene.
Karen Bay just sort of like smoots, like kind of like side. Steps a little bit from Bond on the table. Like, I'm going to scooch over here.
Hey, we're all very warm here tonight, but you're extra sweaty. I don't like that at all. So, yeah, the grossness happens. The fight breaks out. The Russian guy dies, something like that. It's all very, you know, Cold War. This side's doing this. This side's doing that. And then Bond finally goes back to his hotel where earlier he had demanded to be switched to the bridal suite. And who would be there waiting for him but a naked lady?
Tanya.
Who obviously he immediately has sex with.
And he has like what is a really, really, for 1963, risque one-liner where she's like, I'm afraid my mouth's too small. And he's like, or no, she says too big, right?
Thank you. But I think my mouth is too big.
No, it's the right size. For me, that is.
And then you hear the boing sound effect again. Yeah. And it's really just like, is this Looney Tunes or what is this?
You got the perfect size mouth for, you know. I'm like, okay. I did also read on the James Bond fandom Chatterpedia about, you know, again, this movie does a lot of codifying of a lot of James Bond, you know, characters and tropes and et cetera, and especially the Bond girl, where, you know, there was a lot of which, you know, Miss Universe contestant should be the, because she should be this part. And,
who will also be dubbed.
Who will be dubbed because we don't want to hear her voice. But the scene where we first, or where, not where we first meet her, but where Bond first meets her and she's naked in bed waiting for him was what was it? Used as kind of like the screen test for the actress who they cast.
For later Bond actors, yeah.
And would also be, yeah, turn into the traditional screen test for prospective James Bond actors and Bond girls. You're naked in that bed. Go ahead.
There's a really cool screen test in the late 80s, right after Roger Moore was done as Bond, with, of all people, Sam Neill, Alan Grant himself, doing that scene. And you're like, I could totally see him as James Bond.
So you're Tatiana Romanova.
My friends call me Tanya.
My friends call me Bond. James Bond.
Is he British?
He's New Zealand.
Is he New Zealand? I think he's from New Zealand, isn't he?
Is not New Zealand or Australian? I think New Zealand. And again, all these things that women in these movies are expected to do. This is your screen test. You are naked.
Yeah.
And anyway, so they have sex unknowingly on camera, so Spectre
and through a two-way mirror.
Yeah. So
there's like a boardroom of people like taking notes, watching.
Smoking cigarettes, just kind of watching.
People are watching, smoking, filming it. It's
so imagine
to be
the
used
flip
as...
side on Spectre. It's like, all right, so what's my mission today? Well, you need to film these two people doing it. It's like, all right, all the day's work, okay. I guess. Because they seem very bored. They're like smoking. They're like filming. And they're like, all right, whatever.
Well, it's like, how long have they all been waiting there? How long was she waiting there?
Yeah.
Does she have, like, you know, an earpiece or something? Is she kind of like... hey, I'm going to go get some food. I'm pretty hungry. And they're like, no, stay
like,
in there.
What if she was like peeing when that, like she had to use
yeah,
the bathroom?
Yeah, because it's not like they could set up a digital camera. It's like a film camera.
Yeah.
So
with
it's like,
who
I
have
imagine,
to
yeah.
man it.
I imagine like a few like opened pizza boxes, you know, in the background and just like coffee.
They said, hey, Tanya, you want, we got some pizza. You want to come in?
Like I imagine Bond gets in and you see someone like off of the distance in a car get out and hurry towards like the back door.
Yeah. They're like wiping. In their mouth of crumbs.
Yeah, exactly.
It's clear Gary the coffee Busey. Cups. Clear the coffee cups.
It's Gary Busey in the car, basically, only it's Rosa Klipp like, hey, give me two. Hey, Utah, give me two.
Oh, these funnies. Yeah, Clive is reading the funnies.
It's like, hey, Grant, give me another meatball sandwich.
Eating a meatball sandwich in Turkey.
So after this like weird hotel scene, is that when they go on the train, right?
First they have to steal the Lecter. And so there's, you know, these kind of back and forth things of Bond being like, well, I already fucked her. This is clearly a trap.
So
I'll have
say.
To. So yeah, do everything I say. And I'm going to be like, he's kind of like questioning her and questioning her whole story about like, I want to defect.
I love how
and the whole time
in this moment is like, when Bond goes, oh, it's all right. She'll do anything I say. Karen Bates like, what?
Wait, why? What?
He's like,
so,
oh,
yeah, the whole
Bond.
Time she's like, I love you, Bond. I totally will do anything you say. And he's like, good, okay, sure, whatever. And then they work together to steal the Lecter from the, what is it, like
it's
a
like
consulate?
The Russian
or
the consulate, yeah.
Something like that. And
they
then
blow it
they...
up, and then they use Karen Bay's underwater, which I love
those
that.
Those cool tunnels,
that
yeah.
Yeah, the underwater tunnel, and he's got like the gondola, and just like, that's a very cool just set and a very cool escape route.
And then do we ever actually see the Lecter?
It's just like a
box.
A metal box that can do like decoding.
I mean, it doesn't have. Well, I mean, this is a decoding machine. I wasn't expecting anything other than like a small box thing or something.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like.
It doesn't have to have a knife that comes out of it.
It doesn't have to be like the later Fast and the Furious movies where it's like you have to find the second half of this supercomputer bomb that when you put it together with the other half, it's a sphere that like.
Yeah, and this it's just a box.
It's a like a computery thing
with a handle on the top.
Yeah, you know, it comes. It's a little box. You can carry it. Yeah, but yeah, them escaping through the tunnels where it's dank and wet, and there's all these rats, and Tanya's like, lots, oh God, what was that?
Lots of rats.
They escape to the train. They're given like fake passports so that Bond and Tanya are like a new married couple. They're on the train. He like locks her in the compartment every time, and she's like, okay, well, I'll try on these clothes while you're gone.
Yeah, I bought you some clothes because don't girls like dresses and stuff?
Here, put on this nightie. She's like, I will. I'll tie my hair up in little bows, okay?
Which makes me wonder, like, what's Bond? I mean, I guess we all know what Bond's going to do when they get back to England and he delivers a letter. He's like, sorry, honey. You must go bye-bye.
Obviously, I'll fuck you a few more times, but then I'm just going to send you off.
Because at this point, Bond doesn't know that she... I mean, I'm sure he suspected, but he doesn't know that at this point that she's, like, inadvertently working with Spectre.
Well, and she is a double agent where she was told, like, do this stuff with Bond, which again, like, you know, for the... Like,
but hey, he gave her some dresses, and that's like, well, now he's not looking too bad.
But the whole thing, as you say, of like,
I love you, James.
Did she want to deflect? Because at the end of the movie, like, spoilers, she's in like another country with like a fake passport, and it's like, does she just have to live a new life now?
I think so. At this,
so
certainly
you're just
at this time,
dump her in Venice, and she's like, okay. But before we get to that, Karen Bay and Bond are on the train, and they're still kind of sniffing out, like, people following them. There's, like, another Russian who they catch following them. They, like, tie him up in his own jacket and gag him and stuff.
Let me tell you my life story.
Which is way a funny little note. It's the last time we see Karen Bay, because he also gets murdered
by the psychopath, the full
by
moon
Grant,
psychopath,
who has snuck onto the train and is posing as the like British connection who they were supposed to meet up
in
with.
One of my favorite moments from the movie, like when they stop and Bond's looking for his contact, Grant finds the contact first, and he knows like the phrase to say to the guy, you know, the matched line. So it's funny, he's like, yeah, right this way. And I love it because there's no dialogue. You just hear the train, it's super loud, and you just hear them mouthing the words. You know what he's saying. You know he's saying the matched line. And then it shows them walking, and the guys, the contact is behind Grant as they're walking towards the station, and Grant just blazingly pulls out his murder gloves in full view of everyone, starts putting them on.
What are those gloves for?
I'm a little chilly.
I want to say I love the train stuff. This was maybe my favorite part.
I really
like
the
and
train
they're,
stuff.
I love, they're literally on the Orient Express. Like, it is such a good setting for any sort of like espionage
is.
Murder
I love trains.
Stuff. Yes. I love trains. I love them too.
I wish we still had them in the Wastes.
The Wastes have a terrible public transit system.
Makes it hard to get around. There's more, you know, murdering afoot on the train, and more scenes back with Tanya in different outfits being horny.
So James Bond and Tanya are pretending to be like a nice British couple.
Yeah, on their honeymoon, and
they end up having like I don't remember like how they arrange. Bond is like, I have a dinner appointment with a crazy serial killer Flint.
Because he thinks that's his. Quinn.
It's just like, you know, do you want to, Grant asks him like, hey, do you mind if we get something to eat, you know? And Bond's like, yeah surely.
Why did he ask him though? Like, why?
Well, because he wanted to give the, oh my God, he gives the dehornifying Alka-Seltzer to Tanya. He puts an Alka-Seltzer in her.
Well, he just straight up drugs her.
He knocks her out.
He just roofies her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they go back to their train car, and Sylvia's like, this guy, or not Sylvia, Tanya. And then Bond and Grant go to like the other car, and then it's revealed.
They get into it. Yeah.
All the stuff.
Kiss my foot. And this action scene, I just want to say.
I was going to say that action scene is.
This is my favorite action. It's probably my favorite scene in the movie.
It's so good.
This is very like the strength lighting of Connery's Bond in full display. Just the way he fights, it's so like rough and tumble. Like,
well,
every time I don't know.
Hit that door and it smashes against the side of the wall. It's so cool.
There's like a scene in particular that's my favorite, like, 5 second frame of the movie with a bullet. Is during this fight, they're kind of going back and forth between the two rooms that are next to each other, and Connery has him like down, and he starts like stomping on him.
Oh,
and
wow!
It's like so, like, I feel like that's like Connery's background, you know, just the way just he can dick. Do that.
Like, yeah, it kind of
like foreshadows what the Craig Bond would be a bit, but it's different in its own way too. Yeah. Like it's like less choreographed than that.
Sure, yeah.
It's more just rough and tumble, like you said.
Yeah, so just like some grappling. But yeah, and they finally get to a point where it seems as if Grant has won. He gives the reveal that Tanya was a pawn, and that it's Spectre, and this is revenge because
he gives the villain monologue of like, here's everything that's going on.
Here's what's going on.
Well, and once again, I want to point out once again that I think it works here because he's like, oh, I don't mind talking. I like gloating. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it makes sense here, but in a lot of other Bond movies, it does not. You know, unless right. you just want to say it's the general egotistical bad guy. But in this one, it's directly called out that he is an egotistical bad guy.
It's, you know, I'm never mad at a villain monologue. it's silly, but it's, I mean, as they do in The Incredibles of like, he starts monologuing. You got me monologuing. Funny, it always is.
It's always good. It's a favorite trope, and it's again one of the many more building blocks that this movie does to establish like the formula
going on. And so during the monologue, but he's like about to be killed, and Bond's like, "Before I go, can I have a cigarette?
Can I have a cigarette? It's like, in my briefcase."
No, I don't think so. And he's like, "What about for 50 gold pieces?"
Yeah,
he's like,
"I'll pay for it."
Oh, you got 50 gold pieces?
Oh, I'll take some.
No,
yeah,
just in my briefcase. And I love this, the misdirection. He's like, he grabs two briefcases and he starts to open it. And
well, he like excitingly does it. He's like, oh yeah, it's right here. He's like, ah.
Yeah, and he's like, no, you opened it, Bond. And you're as the audience, so you're like, oh, dang, I guess the tear gas. But then he opens it and there's
he
like.
He just gets a cigarette. No.
He's like, I have another one though. Could I get one more?
Any more in the other case?
I should imagine so. It's a standard kit. I'll have a look.
Put your hands back in your pockets. Keep them there.
And then, of course, the tear gas comes out.
Well, it's a good move because, like, you know, he's all, like, excitingly running for it. And from Grant's perspective, he's like, oh, he's probably got a gun in there or something.
Yeah.
Right. It all makes sense.
He wasn't expecting some ordinary talcum powder.
Oh, my God. What if that's what happened? He opened up the briefcase and just threw the talcum powder in his face.
Damn it, Q.
It'll still make you cough and get in your eyes.
And so hold during on there, the tear James gas. Bond, I know you're hiding talcum powder in that briefcase.
I know you sweat a lot.
This is when James Bond gets the achievement for full use of the gear because the tear gas comes out and he's like, and it gives him an opening for like a scuffle. And then he uses the knife that pops out and stabs him in the back.
Briefcase knife.
I don't get me wrong. I love the piano wire kill and it's very a very visceral, violent moment. Mm-hmm. However, how cooler would it have been if Bond used the strand of gold sovereigns to choke Grant to death?
That would be pretty cool.
That would really be fully using the
I think he should get like an extra key achievement if he did that.
What if you like tied the sovereigns together and use those like, you know, a bag of quarters and just start
beating them?
Oh man.
Okay.
We're just saying that Bond did not get the full achievement here. He didn't use the briefcase to its fullest potential.
He really
and then
should've.
He could have taken, oh, this would have been really dark. He could have taken two of the sovereigns, put it on Grant's eyes. You know what I mean?
yeah, old school, yeah.
Here you go. Here's some money for the ferryman.
Some money for the ferryman. we skipped over, again, not to just harp on how badly women are treated in this movie, but we get there was an earlier scene between, still on the train with Bond and Tanya, where he, like, like suspects that she is like a double agent or something like that, and he like full on like slaps her around, and the whole time she's just like, no, I love you, I love you, and he's like literally beating her.
He does that thing in old movies where they like the guy treats the woman like a rag doll. He's just like,
and he's like, yeah, but he does like fully lay hands on her, which again I do not like to see. And then, they're getting off the train. She's still like half drugged, and he's again like ragdolling her. And she's like, what's going on? He's like, we're moving. Come on. And she's like, what?
Throws and then her in the back of that floral truck.
Yeah, he throws her in like a pot in like a field,
sleep
and then
off
into
on
like
these thorns.
On like a pile of flowers, she's like, what the fuck? And then he steals a truck or something, and
it's poison ivy back here. Live with
it's
it.
Really, it's really itchy. And then suddenly they're being chased by a helicopter. It's a lot going on.
And Bond finally gets to use his gun. His rifle.
Finally gets to shoot.
It blows
his gun.
Up the helicopter.
Yeah.
That's a great trope. I love the like. I didn't understand why this helicopter exploded from, like, the shot that happened, but...
Well, he shot the guy that was about to drop a grenade on him, and the guy drops the grenade in the helicopter.
Okay, yeah.
That'll
this
do it.
This was very reminiscent of North by Northwest, I thought, with him running dodging the
I was wondering if that was, over. Like... Did North by Northwest come out before this?
Yeah, North by Northwest, I think, was, like, 57, I want to say?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, quite a while before this movie. Good 6 years, but then we get another action scene with
but we're still doing it because we're back on Spectre boat with our shadowy cat stroking villain and the chessman and club.
Kronstein Chessman.
That's my name. Chess is what I play. And it's a moment of the like, one of you has failed me very badly.
And they misdirected
too.
But
it's not who you think.
Yeah, because they keep playing it up like Klepp is like, you messed up, Klepp. You got to go. But
I got a guy coming in with a poisoned knife shoe and he kicks the shit out of Chessman.
One of my favorite Bond, I guess it's a gadget, like the little knife tip that sticks out of the foot. Like that is like such... 60s Bond, and it's poison tipped.
Of course, it's poison tipped.
I don't know. And just the way he just kind of goes, dick, like that, hits the guy in like in the Achilles tendon, like that, and just he falls over dead. Like it's such a low tech, cool, like brutal gadget.
It is.
I love too because like you're thinking like because he's just hitting him in the foot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, is this just like a, you know, it's very painful and he's. But like, oh no, it's venom tipped and he's just dead.
Not only do you stab them, but you poison them very mm-hmm. quickly. So yeah, there's the like that guy's down and
I hope you
Klepp
play chess
like,
better than this guy.
It's like you have one last chance, don't disappoint me. So we're back in Venice with Bond and Tanya, and they're like, oh, we're having fun. I'm glad we got the Lictor and we're off that train. Teehee, let's
And Bond
let's go.
Wears his little captain's hat.
I know, he's, yeah, it's in his little outfit. And then, oh,
he's
there's
basically
just
wearing
some...
like a Hugh Hefner like sailor outfit.
Yeah, right. but so, oh, it was revealed earlier also with the Tanya is a double agent, but also she's a pawn of Spectre thing that Grant goes into it telling Bond that like, yeah, we filmed you guys having sex. And after I steal the Lecter, we're going to kill you both, kill you and the girl, and then frame it as a murder suicide that she was going to try to blackmail you. And you killed her, basically. And so they're back in Venice. We see Klepp is in there hidden as a maid. She's going to steal the Lecter, pull a gun on James Bond, and basically tells Tanya, like, get out of here. Like, I'm going to finish this job. But Tanya loves him, so she's not going to let him die.
Well, we also get Rosa Klepp, who also has the poison tip shoe.
Yeah, we get another poison
shoe. And I
love
it's so funny because it's one of those like inadvertently funny moments when Bond just basically takes like a chair and like, you know.
Just fights her off with just some
furniture.
The fight
between Rosa Klepp and James Bond is really weird.
I always wanted, it's just funny that she's like jabbing with like her foot out. I almost wanted her to just take the shoe off and use it like a knife.
Right? Just try to...
or throw it at him.
Yeah, well, that's, you got to be careful with the throwing it. And then, yeah, we get that.
She takes off both shoes and puts it on her hands and like she's punching with them.
I would love that. Scuffling around with shoes on her hands. Bond just being like, ugh. But then, yeah, Tanya jumps in with a super, like, once again, they just are, I want to know what kind of instructions the actress was given of, like, so tackle Cleb, but not in a way that seems like you're in control of your body at all. Where she just kind of jumps on her and then immediately falls on the ground, like, ah. But she gets a hold of the gun, and after a moment of, who is she going to shoot? Her boss or the man she loves? She shoots Cleb, and it's fine.
Terrible woman. Well, can I point something out here in this scene?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I say this all the time, but you guys always rag on me. I suppose this may be a Dave-ism, mm-hmm. but how horrible, how ugly was the wallpaper in this room?
It was an ugly room.
It was ugly.
This is a Dave-ism.
But no, but like it seemed like this is it looked like just ugly, like supposedly regal wallpaper that you would find in like a grandma's house or something. You're like, this is horrible. Like I don't know. I just like it was like gold and yellow. It's just like just the ugliest color scheme. Oh my god. I'm sorry. No one else thought like ew. This.
I mean, it was very 60s.
It was very 60s. But I was just like. I don't know. Like the whole scene, I was basically distracted by that wallpaper. I'm like, this place is ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why all you see of Venice is, you know, like a nice balcony or being on a boat.
You never see the indoor.
They're like, it's just an ugly hotel.
They haven't renovated any of their buildings.
It's actually a little known fact. Venice was all just, I mean, obviously it doesn't exist now, but back in the day, it was all just a facade. There was no indoors.
There's actually nothing indoors. It was all just little bridges and gondolas. So yeah, then Clep is disposed of. They're Tanya and Bond are on a gondola, curled up together.
Bond's pervily looking at the sex tape.
Yeah, he's looking at their sex tape for a while, then he throws it away as they make out, and the Bond or the From Russia with Love song plays.
This might also be the last time we get on the end at the end of the movie. I don't know if they do that in Goldfinger on.
So what did they like establish like where Lecter is at this point?
They just took it with them.
Delivered it. Yeah, they have it and they're going to deliver it.
But we don't see him get delivered. It's just like, well, we're probably fine now. Let's just hang out in Venice.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they passed passed it along to whoever, and now they're just on a boat.
Because they have the Lecter in the hotel, in the ugly hotel room.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted a little more, like, resolution with, like, the Lecter stuff.
No, it was just a device that got passed along. And I guess now British intelligence has it.
When Q is, like, decoding it, and it turns out the messages that the Russians are sending are just insults, like, kiss my butt or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like,
oh, yes. Why?
Britain sucks. America sucks. Text it.
They're just insulting us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna say again, I didn't really like this one. I liked parts of it. But
wasn't. Have you seen Goldfinger, Jackie?
I don't know that I have.
Oh man, I
you've I'm seen gonna, Goldmember.
I've seen
you?
Goldmember a number of times.
I'm gonna warn you that if you think the male chauvinism is bad
I'm
in
ready.
This movie, it reaches its peak in Goldfinger.
I've heard Goldfinger is the nadir of the chauvinism.
I mean, when a woman is going to be painted gold and a mostly naked woman painted gold is going to be problematic, perhaps?
It's fun. It's ironic because Goldfinger, I think, pretty much universally is known as it's the one that where James Bond became a phenomenon. It was like super. It was like I said, Beatles level fame and success. And it's generally looked upon as like one of the best Bond movies. It pretty much established the formula with the super like Looney Tunes esque gadgets and craziness and stuff like that would go
I do want
to decades to come.
For the phenomenon part, I do want to like give some perspective. So the budget for this was $2 million and it made $79 million. So like return on investment. Yeah. But for context, if you adjust for inflation, according to my Chattopedia sources, $79 million, I'm just going to pick a random year, in 2022 would be $755 million.
Insane.
So like close to, approaching $1 billion movie back in the day. I mean, that's like, that is so massive. And on a budget of $2 million, I mean, everyone in the studios must have just been like salivating and popping champagne. Yeah. Smoking cigars.
This is also the period when they would, like, you know, there's no TV. It's not like you can watch it on TV. Well, there is TV, but it's not like they're like running movies on TV that often. Right, like new movies, anyway. There's no HBO. So it's like you would have to go to the movies to see a movie like in a revival again. And that's just when people were going to movies again and again and again. It's the term blockbuster came about, because you got lines around buildings and stuff. It was just a different time. There wasn't a whole lot of competition. There was no Facebook. There was no
Fortnite.
Twitter. Fortnite wasn't a thing yet. Yeah, D&D wasn't even a thing.
God, it was just sit around and.
It's just ironic though, because like the most successful Bond movie, one of the most successful Bond movies ever that established the formula, is also the most problematic.
You're talking about Goldfinger.
Talking about Goldfinger, yeah.
Well, so. I mean that's like part of Bond in a way, like. I guess like maybe some of the Craig movies is trying to wrestle with that legacy in a way.
I mean, I think the modern stuff does try to kind of confront some of that, but it is also kind of content to sweep it under the rug and forget that it happened and say like, well, we won't do like that anymore. But, you know, we'll still fridge women and, you know, do things like that. But I'm not saying I'm not grateful for the progress that, you know, the series makes. Eventually.
What would you give this out of five?
How many gold sovereigns would you give this movie?
How many gold sovereigns? I will say I feel more positively about it talking with someone who does enjoy it so much and talking about the things that I think the movie did well, but I still did not enjoy watching a large amount of it. So I'm going to say 2 out of 5.
I can't even buy a cigarette with 2 gold sovereigns.
I'll have Lucky to go into I brought my own.
What about you, Mike? How many gold sovereigns would you give this movie?
I think I like the idea of it more than the movie. I mean, like, there's... I agree with Jackie for sure. Like, there's a lot of this movie that's like icky, and a lot of it, like the two problems I have is the ickiness, and I think some of it is dull with just I don't know the way it's paced or maybe how convoluted the plot is at times. That said, there is also positives in it for sure. There's like some good fight scenes, especially everything on the train is good.
Love a good train.
The gadgets. I mean, you are getting some of like. The Bond, but I think at the end of the day, I like my Bond more comic booky than serious, and this is like pretty serious. So I'm waffling between a 2.5, which I just see as like straight down the middle, right, out of 5, or a 3. In the spirit of like generosity, I'll give it a 3.
But you really mean 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a 2.75 if I really wanted to be. It's like... just a hair over down the middle in the positive side, I think.
It's fine. It's okay to not like a movie that much.
That's true.
Yeah. And Dave, was this like 30 out of 5 for you?
I would
all the gold sovereigns.
I would give it 2 gold sovereign rings, 2 strands, you know. But no,
I would give it 2 gadgets out of 2.
It's a thing, you know, like especially when we get to Goldfinger, like where it's like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in these movies where it, you know, it's like this is the era of Mad Men, where it's just like things were pretty terrible for women, and
it was.
And you know, there's like a culture that really just perpetrates that stuff and keeps it going to this day. So even in the wasteland, things haven't gotten better. But anyway, yeah, so those things are definitely blemishes on these movies. And it is unfortunate, but I do like the, like I said, I like the espionage stuff and the train stuff. And I actually like that it's serious because, like I said, I like that there's been so many Bond movies that there's little phases of Bond. So if you're feeling more like serious, you can go this era. If you're feeling more cartoony, you can go like the Moore era or Goldfinger.
Yeah, you can definitely, if you want the camp, you can find the camp.
Yeah, I appreciate that it didn't stay stagnant, and it kind of changed with some of the things that were, well, for good and ill, some of the things that were popular at the certain times when the movies came out. But it's nice that the series evolved and kind of, you know, changed and stuff. It makes it a little more fun to go back and revisit. It's not just the same static thing all the way through.
Yeah.
But that said, I would give this 4.5 chauffeurs.
Wow.
I really like From Russia with Love. I'm really a sucker for like the 60s.
Is this higher for you than Dr. No?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
I like Dr. Moore.
There was
Dr.
no
Moore.
Mango tree.
There's even though there's no mango tree and there's no Bond in leisure wear, you know, his light blue shirt and little like ruffled up pants or whatever.
We do get him in some tiny little shorts with Sylvia Trench at the beginning.
Oh, that's true.
I think the sweaty Bahama nightclub is better than the sweaty camp.
Yeah. That was at least just some people dancing and not catfight awfulness.
Now you own these two women, Bond.
Even though he does, or someone hurts a woman at that sweaty Bahama nightclub, but only for a teeny bit. Anyway.
Well, that'll do it for this mission of the James Bond, or the Apocalypse Video Bond cast. We'll be back next time. Let me hand you your dossier for your next mission. Codename Goldfinger.
Goldfinger!
This dossier is very sticky.
Is this Cheeto dust?
It's very... Yeah, what is this? Oh...
Here's a snapshot Kelly managed to get of her.
Well, I don't know too much about cryptography, sir, but Elektra could decode their top secret signals. The whole thing's so fantastic, it just could be true.